Today's sermon is called Picked or Chosen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Lord God of our Epiphany hearts, minds, spirits, and souls, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We all remember when we were kids growing up, and one of the things kids do from an early age is they seek out other children with whom to play. It really doesn't matter when we're really young, that age when we just want to get together with others and build snowmen in the winter or gather dandelions in the spring or by the summertime blow those same dandelion seeds with our breath and watch them fly away or in the fall collect all kinds of colors and shapes of leaves. We do those things when we're by ourselves for sure, but it's so much more fun to do those things with other kids. Seeing how high we can build a snowman, or how big a dandelion seed storm we can start, or we begin trading red leaves from my yard for orange leaves from your yard. Kids just want to be together. And then we get a little older. And we start to notice that we're different. Taller or shorter or smaller or bigger or slower or faster or lighter hair or darker hair, kids start to notice that both they and their friends have unique characteristics and abilities, and the playgroups start to reflect those differences. Now, these differences are magnified as the simple games of collecting exchange themselves for skills. Catching, running, jumping, hiding, seeking. Don't get me wrong, kids still congregate, but they also begin to form bigger groups based on affinities, skills, and abilities. And in that, we begin to form teams from our earliest years, don't we? You remember that Capital One commercial, banking commercial, from a couple of years ago? A group of 10-year-old kids are getting together a game of pickup basketball. And there's a little girl who gets to pick first for her team, and she points to the 6'8" Charles Barkley and says, "I'll take Barkley," to which he exclaims, "Yes, I still got it. I told you she'd pick me first." And the other team captain just rolls his eyes. Is it because the other team captain wishes he got to pick Barkley? Or is he just tired of the boasting and hubris for which Barkley is so well known for wherever he goes? We don't know. But Capital One uses this to say choosing their bank is as easy and as obvious as picking Charles Barkley first in a basketball game. Now, our lives, they continue in this differentiation scheme as we get older, don't they? Sure, sometimes it's about physical attributes, such as sports. Sometimes it's about other things about us, such as knowledge and aptitudes. Or it could be cultural, such as our ethnic or racial background. The point is, we cannot escape societal norms that continue to bracket us in certain ways. And it's happening whether we want to acknowledge it or not. That doesn't mean, however, that we have always assented to that difference or agree with it or even participate in it. We're often picked to do the things in our lives that will shape our choices and character for a young age. And we know this to be true. Teachers introduce the subject and then ask the class questions about it. But, right? But when we're in elementary school, and the teacher will ask a question. When we think we know the answer, we'll raise our hand, and the teacher will ask us what we know. I think every one of us has had the experience of raising our hand and telling the class what we knew, only to be told that it wasn't the right answer. And then someone else answers with what the teacher expected. You do that too many times, and we learn not to answer at all, not to raise our hand, lest we be labeled as one who's unreliable. Raise our hand? Yeah. If we're always getting overruled by the teacher. When you raise your hand, the teacher won't pick you. And we can withdraw because it hurts to get picked and then not know and have people look at us differently and not in a positive way. Teachers and parents express concern and confusion, but that doesn't help. We just don't raise our hand anymore. We want to feel normal, not being continually picked out and the result being failure, rejected, or humiliation. Being picked has huge risks in our world. So when Jesus is strolling along toward Galilee in our scripture today, he's just beginning his ministry. It's still chapter 1 in the 22 chapters of the Gospel of John. He's already intrigued a couple of folks, Andrew, Simon, Peter, and Philip. And it's here where, for my two cents, things get really interesting. Because we read in our text that Philip goes to tell his friend Nathanael about Jesus. The promised one, the chosen one, that person who the prophets wrote about. He's here. You've got to come and see. Now, I don't know about you, but if my friend told me that the Messiah was passing by, I think I'd also get curious enough to come and see. But my antenna are up. The Messiah? Are they setting me up? The Messiah, they say, is from Nazareth? No way. Nothing good comes from Nazareth, right? This is a joke. You're putting one over on me. Where's the candid camera hiding in the bushes here? What's happening? And then Jesus does the mic drop, right? He sees Nathanael. He knows Nathanael. He chooses Nathanael. I want to leave you with these final thoughts. Throughout our lives, we're being picked for things. We're being picked for roles. We're being picked for all kinds of stuff at our peril. We're good enough until we screw up. I'll tell you, everybody does. Latest example being Bill Belichick. Greatest of all time until now. And then he's out. Being picked is no guarantee, except that someday you're going to be out on your ear. But being chosen, that's different. Jesus chooses Nathanael. There's nothing about the man that makes him stand out. I like to think that he's a lot like a lot of us. Burned by being picked so many times, he dismisses Jesus out of hand for fear of being hurt or duped by his friends. But Jesus looks past the snide remark and invites him, based on his character, to try this time. Try again. Try differently. Because it's not about what Nathanael can do. That's what being picked means. Being chosen means seeing Nathanael for who he is. Jesus passes by all the time in our lives. Jesus sees us before we see him. But like Nathanael, we're all too conditioned by the world, thinking that we cannot be worthy. We cannot risk being picked and then exposed as taller or shorter or smaller or bigger or slower or faster. Having lighter, darker hair, or somehow not fitting into the expectation of a good enough person. Christians are a tough lot, we say to ourselves. Too haughty and judgy. Even we who are here resist Jesus' calling of being chosen. Did he really see us long ago? We want to know, what did he think? Will it be safe to follow him? We need evidence to confirm our suspicions, right? Being picked means having ever mounting evidence. Being chosen means to come and see. How do you see your life with God? Through the eyes of the world? Or through the eyes of Christ? Thanks be to God. Amen.